And welcome to the Taylor Report. Just as the man said, it's CIUT 89.5 FM. Taylor Report is on Facebook and also SoundCloud, as I hope you know. Today we're going to talk to Sean Crawford of the United Auto Workers, who's visiting Oshawa. And we will, in the second half, going to be talking to Zafar Bengash about all these developments, and particularly what we intended to talk to him about the events in Beirut. Beirut, wrong place, but we could always go there. But Baghdad. But also, now we have the Trump announcement today, so it's kind of important that we ask about what the significance of that is, and Zafar is very well versed on these matters, so that's that'll be coming up. Along the way, we probably have some other things to be talking about as well. I think we're joined now by Sean Crawford. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I sure am. How you doing?
Very good. You're going to be speaking in Oshawa in just a couple of hours at the local union hall. You've come in from Michigan. What's the occasion? What are you going to be telling them?
Well, the folks in Oshawa, whose their plant's closing, right? And their plant closure was announced at pretty much the exact same time my plant closure was announced. Detroit Hamtramck Assembly, along with a few other plants in the States. And I just wanted to come up and show my solidarity with them the same way they showed solidarity with us when they came down to our protest in Detroit. And, you know, I really support their idea of making Oshawa a hub of green technology, and I think it's a fantastic idea, and you get to learn a lot from that in the United States.
Yeah. Well, both of you are being impacted now about with the General Motors, the strike at General Motors, 50,000 workers are out. How is that impacting your situation?
Well, strike pay is about $250 a week. It's not really a lot to live on, but to be honest, it's worth it because we're fighting for equality. We want to eliminate the tiered wage system. We want to make sure the temporary workers are going to get hired, and we want the third-party outsourced workers to get hired in as regular employees as well. It's really disappointing when you have so much division in the union because our power is really predicated on that unity, so I want to see that brought back to our organization. And even expand it further, you know, I'd love to see more coordination between, Unifor and the UAW and just working people everywhere so we can stand up for a better quality of life.
Yeah, you've underlined this matter, and certainly it occurs here, the tiered system. And I saw the article you published by you earlier in September where you talked about the sacrifices United Auto Worker members made, certainly Unifor made, in order to save the big three or the giant auto companies, where it cost workers an awful lot. But one of the things you ended up with was a tiered system where new workers, new hires come in at much less wage and all that. Is that a factor, by the way, in this bargaining?
Yes, it is. And the tiered wage system has changed a bit from where it was when it first started, but it's got more complicated, right? So now not only do we have a second tier of auto workers, we have temporary part-time auto workers, and we also have third-party folks who are brought in. They're basically jobs that used to be done by traditional auto workers, and they've taken outside companies and outsourced those jobs. So they're working in the same building for much less pay. Mm-hmm. So instead of just having two tiers, we actually have like four or five tiers now. And, it's really bad for morale inside a plant, and it really makes it difficult to take any sort of unified action as a union, as an organization.
Yeah. You know, it's very hard even to get the facts correct. Like you just laid out something which most people here have not quite comprehended. When we had the GM decision to leave, shut down the plant in Oshawa. People talked about 2,500 jobs, but they forgot there were 2,500 more jobs and members of the same local. of uniform were sort of forgotten about because they were employed by different companies.
Yeah, parts suppliers, and not only, not to mention just parts suppliers, but you know, folks who work at local restaurants, local bars, local grocery stores that rely on the income that auto workers make, they're all going to go out of business as well. You see, I was born in Flint, Michigan. I spent most of my life in Flint, Michigan, and I can speak firsthand from the about the negative impact a plant closure or plant closures can have on a community. And I really would hate to see that happen up here. You know, it's bad, not only just for the individual auto workers, but the entire state. You know, the state of Michigan was just was devastated by these job cuts, and I'd hate to see that happen again.
Yeah. We're speaking to Sean Crawford, United Auto Workers, and who has an excellent article, by the way, in These Times, September 18. I notice that they're talking in these negotiations. General Motors is sort of putting out propaganda on its own behalf, and it says, well, they're going to have solutions for these places like Lordstown and plants in Detroit scheduled for shutdown. They say, well, they may bring a battery plant in, I believe, somewhere in Ohio. And they also mention electric vehicles. Now, that's come up, by the way, in discussion in Oshawa. How serious is the talk about electrical vehicles?
I mean, they might bring them in, but the thing is, how many jobs are they going to provide? Will they be at similar pay? And those questions have yet to be answered. And I'm no expert on Oshawa, but my understanding is that they're only slated to have 300 jobs brought into the plant. And from my perspective, to go from, what, 2,200 approximately, that were there not too long ago, down to 300, that's not a very good deal, right? And what they did at Detroit Hamtramck Assembly in Lordstown for our current contract negotiations in the United States, was basically used it as a bargaining chip, right? So, which is ridiculous because it was in the contract in the first place that these plants were not slated to close. They were going to retain work throughout the life of the agreement. So, General Motors went against its agreement in the first place, right? And so now they're trying to, oh, you want these jobs back? Well, you've got to give more concessions. And they're trying to hold that over our head. And honestly, I don't want to play that game. I'm sick of playing that game. I've seen what that game leads to, and it's bad for communities. It's bad for people. What we need to do is take a more aggressive approach to these companies who are trying to abandon our communities and nationalize them. You know, if you don't want to treat us fairly and care about our communities and the people and our families, you know, why can't we run those plants ourselves to make, you know, the Great Lakes region the engine of the Green New Deal? That's a project that I've been working on in Michigan with the Detroit Democratic Socialists of America, and our idea is that we need to have a Great Lakes Authority to where everyone in the Rust Belt comes together to try to use this awesome manufacturing capacity to rebuild, you know, basically a new green economy that we need to fight global warming and to eliminate the unemployment crisis that we have in the Rust Belt. And I would love to see Ontario be part of that as well. And that's, you know, the big reason that I'm here, because we need, you know, we need international solidarity, quite frankly, to beat international greed.
Yeah.
And so, I'm really happy to be here to support my brothers and sisters in Oshawa.
Yeah, they certainly are faced with a very peculiar situation. I mean, the city gave provided that land for General Motors. They made every concession possible to keep it going, and then they just get told, "Okay, we're leaving." And the people,
it's the same everywhere.
Allegedly, we have democratic societies where it's of, by, and for the people. The people ought to have some say in whether or not General Motors just packs up. You have a congresswoman, don't you? Congresswoman Tlaib, is it? Is speaking up?
Yeah.
We're hoping to get some phenomena like that here. I think we do have members of the provincial legislature who are beginning to find the backbone to say what you're saying, public ownership.
Yeah, well, I mean, people need to get out and vote, and they need to get out and talk to their reps. And if their representatives aren't doing what they're supposed to, run against them. You know, we supposedly live in a free society that's based on the popular public will. We need to get out there and make that happen. You know, run for public office in your, even if it's just a local office or in your own local union. Every little thing helps. If you have a positive vision and a heart for working people and just for average folks, you know, put yourself out there. I think people are hungry for a change because the way things have been going hasn't been working for us.
It is interesting. The phenomenon of Bernie Sanders and of Congresswoman Tlaib, they would, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, people would have said, oh, you're dreaming. Well, it doesn't seem to, it looks like there's a lot of people like what they hear from these people.
Yeah. Well, we have a collective dream, right? And we have a collective memory in the United States. I mean, all you have to do is look back to FDR or great labor leaders like Eugene Debs and see that, you know, America has a strong tradition of democratic socialism and trying to take care of its people. You know, it's socialism isn't some kind of boogeyman. It's basically putting people over profits, plain and simple.
Yeah.
Right. And that has been part of our national heritage and our collective heritage as working class people all over the world. You don't have to look but, you know, maybe two generations in the past to see all the good that did. Because if it wasn't for people like, you know, FDR coming into office and starting the New Deal, we wouldn't have a lot of the things that we take for granted today. So it's
probably the most popular president in American history, actually.
Yeah, four terms, you know. It's not a dream because it's happened before.
Yeah.
And before I forget, I wanted to go back and mention one thing. You mentioned about the public land being used to build the Oshawa Assembly Plant.
Yes.
I don't know if your listeners are aware of this, but in my former plant, Detroit Hamtramck Assembly, General Motors actually built that plant in part on a Polish immigrant neighborhood and actually got the government to use eminent domain to kick all those folks out of their houses, demolish their churches, their entire communities, and to build that plant for their own personal private profit. And, you know, what a disgrace to do that to a vulnerable immigrant community, you know, with just garbage compensation when you're destroying someone's entire life, basically in their home. So it's not just in Canada. You know, we have a common struggle everywhere, you know, and that's something that I really hope to get across while I'm here.
Yeah, these communities, everybody has to revisit the history. It always turns out, by the way, these big corporations that talk about how, you know, the entrepreneurship, they always have their hand out. They always expect the government to give them money, and then they expect to be able to act like pirates and go away. But story you just told, they destroyed a community in order to set up their company. So they owe quite a debt to Michigan.
Exactly. And so if you're just going to abandon that plant, in my view, it's totally just because you destroyed a community to build it, and we did all the work to make the money to make you so profitable.
Yep.
So if you're just going to up and leave it, we should be able to own it and run it to, you know, to basically build green energy. I mean, we have to. Because if we don't, what kind of world are we going to leave for our children? Are we just going to say to them, hey, we didn't do anything, we had an opportunity, but it was too hard? I mean, if we can defeat fascism, you know, if we can...
That was hard.
If we can go over to Europe and beat Hitler, why can't we stop global warming? We just need the political will.
Yeah, absolutely. But this is Sean Crawford. Sean Crawford of United Auto Workers. He's going to be speaking at 1425 Philip Murray Avenue at 7 o'clock, Oshawa. And it's Union Hall 222 of Unifor. And it's sponsored by Green Jobs Oshawa and the Durham Region Labor Council. And Sean, I want to make sure I ask you, it's a sensitive subject, but you do raise it in the article you wrote for In These Times. It's not a happy situation to have union leaders who are so alienated from their own members that they've been lining their pockets when you have this kind of crisis. Can you tell us, what is the situation with Mr. Jones and the others?
Oh, boy, if I knew that, whew.
If you knew.
I mean, all I can do is go off of what I've been told. Mm-hmm. And what I've been told is disgraceful. Mm-hmm. You know, these people were put in place to represent the membership and to fight for us to have a, you know, more uniform and better conditions and shorter working hours and all these types of things. And they're basically just trying to live high in the hog at our expense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've connected more with the corporate class and are in a cooperative philosophy with the corporate class more than they are in touch with the membership. You never see them campaigning because we don't have one member, one vote, for starters.
Well, some of there's been some arrests.
The membership doesn't even know who they are. What's that?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to speak over you, but there actually have been charges, are there not, against some members of the national executive?
Yeah, there have been some charges, and there are some that are pending right now, is my understanding. And it's it really shows a culture of corruption in the union. And I know they're not all that way for a fact, mm-hmm. but there are way too many of them that way, and it really speaks to a larger need for democratic reform and democratic change within the union structure. We need to have one member, one vote. We need to have a rank and file upsurge of activism for new candidates and new leaders that will take it back to the rank and file roots of the labor movement, which is what got us all the benefits that we take for granted today. If we keep on going down this corporate cooperativist path, I mean, it's just going to get us more of the same concessions. Yeah. And, standing around twiddling our thumbs while our whole society is gutted by these, like you said, pirates earlier.
Yeah. Well, you certainly laid it out well. I'm reminded of that line of Eugene Debs, who said, "I don't want to rise above my class, I want to rise with my class." You seem to be carrying the same message, and you're going to talk at 1425 Philip Murray Avenue, 7 o'clock in Oshawa tonight. Sean Crawford, it's great talking to you. Thank you very, very much.
Hey, you as well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Okie doke. Bye-bye. This is Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It is 89.5 FM. Lee Morgan is going to provide a little entertainment, and we'll be coming back with more information.